This just in, we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Damage here along the Gulf Coast is catastrophic. There's a frantic effort underway tonight to find survivors. There are an uncounted number of the dead tonight.
We're also getting reports this morning of an explosion, a bomb explosion, in Russell Square. Some eyewitnesses say it was in a litter bin, and some eyewitnesses also say that it blew the top off a bus. And Scotland Yard have now confirmed that there was an explosion in Russell Square.
Welcome to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. We are now living in perilous times, and we study the Word of God each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. We teach on prophetic events and study what the Scriptures say about the last days, the tribulation period, and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We support body ministry, which comes through born-again Christian believers who are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now come join us as we get into the Word of God and hear what God is saying to the church in this hour, in these perilous times.
And the sons of Issachar were known as men who understood and discerned the times they were living in and knew what they were supposed to do in Israel. Do we? There is no doubt we're living at the very end of the age when Jesus told us that he would return. The signs of the times are all around us. Earthquakes, famine, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars, distress of nations, economic turmoil, the proliferation of the wickedness in society and culture, false religion and the harlot church, signs and wonders in the sky, and deception everywhere. We are truly living in perilous times in these last days. And we may not know the day or the hour when Jesus comes, but he clearly said that we could know the season. We're children of the light, and that day shall not take us by surprise. So when you see all these things converging in the world, my friends, look up, our redemption draws near. So we invite you to go online to perilloustimes.com and join us, not only to understand and discern the times we are living in, but to find out how we are to walk, the faith that we're to keep, and what we are to do as we approach the coming of the Lord and the end of all things. You're not alone in your struggle to survive in these perilous times. God is still on the throne and in control, and we are here too as your family and as your friends to help you stay focused on this truth. That no matter how bad it gets, or how it seems that evil is triumphing, we've read the last chapter, and we win. PerilousTimes.com, because the light overcomes the darkness, and the good news still speaks louder than the bad.
Well, welcome everyone to Perilous Times, and this week our message is, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Well, beloved, get your notebooks out, get your iPads, whatever you're going to take notes with. Get ready for a great message. We're going to get into the Word of God. Our teaching this week, take heed that no man deceive you. We're going to start in a quick word of prayer. Father, I ask right now that you would come with your anointing. Father, that you would anoint my tongue, that my tongue would be anointed to speak forth the Word of God, that you anoint the ears of the hearers that they might hear and understand the Word of God, that it might go down deep into good soil, that it would bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, much fruit, Lord. Father, that your Word would not return void, but it would accomplish all that you've sent it forth to do, and may it go forth like a sharp sword, Lord, dividing that which is soulish from that which is spirit. And Father, we ask it all in the name above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so be it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, beloved, this week our message, take heed that no man deceive you. Of course, these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, And we're going to take a look at the Word of God, reading from verses 3 through 5. Matthew 24, 3 through 5. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Okay, beloved, that's our message this week. Take heed that no man deceive you. Of course, this is a warning coming from the Lord Jesus Christ to the church in the last days. They asked him, what would it be like when you return? What would it be like? What would be the sign of the end of the world? And the first sign the Lord gives to them, of course, the Lord gives them a whole list of signs. He talks about earthquakes in diverse places. He talks about that the love of many shall wax cold, wars and rumors of wars. And there's a whole list of signs that the Lord gives to them. But the first sign, the very first sign the Lord Jesus speaks to the apostles about concerning the end of the age, the end of the world, and the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, his second coming, he says, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The first sign given by the Lord Jesus of the end of the world and the return of Christ is deception. And he says that many shall come in his name. That means there are going to be many false teachers that come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. And that's what Jesus said. He said, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. Now, how do they deceive many? Well, they come saying that Jesus is the Christ, and they come in his name, but they do not come speaking the truth or speaking the word of God. The scriptures are clear that they will not endure sound doctrine. It says, but in the last days they will heap to themselves teachers in according with their own lusts. Let's look at that. That's 2 Timothy. If you would turn to me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There it is, beloved, the warnings in the Word of God. Now, Jesus said that they would come in his name, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and through this they shall deceive many. And how shall they deceive many? Well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to go and seek out men who will tickle their ears. So this is how they shall deceive the many, by tickling your ears. Ear ticklers, man pleasers, merchandisers. They're going to come to you with a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the word of God tells you, beloved, from such turn away. Now, one thing I want to point out, notice it says that when this great deception comes, the first sign given by Jesus, they said, what will it be like, what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the world? And he goes on and says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. The first sign that Jesus Christ gives is that many shall be deceived, not by some cult or not by some satanic movement or some other deception, but by those claiming to come in the name of Jesus Christ and claiming that Jesus is the Christ, and these men shall deceive many. That is the warning we find in Scripture. That is what is happening, beloved. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it talks about how they will heap to themselves. In other words, the majority of the teachers in the last days will be those who have this ear-tickling message, who are deceivers, who shall deceive many. It doesn't say that they shall deceive some, or that they shall deceive a few. No, the Word of God declares that they shall deceive many. Many shall be deceived by these false teachers. And beloved, who are they? Well, they're all around you. They're all through the organized harlot church system. They are everywhere you turn. They are promising you false gospels and lies and fables. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That is what they're doing to you, beloved. Many of you, not all of you, but many of you, your ears are being turned away from the truth and being turned unto fables, unto lies. They are deceiving you. They are tickling your ears. They are man-pleasers sent to please you, to tell you what you want to hear. And in so doing, they do deceive many. They are deceiving the masses. Now, beloved, I ask you, do you believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you believe the words of these false teachers? Now, I'm going to tell you the very things that they are telling you that are deceiving you. And I know that many that listen to this broadcast are not deceived. That is why they listen to our broadcast, because we speak only the truth in love. We go into the Word of God. We speak the Scriptures from the Word of God, and we declare, "Thus saith the Lord," according to the Scriptures. And everything that we teach, everything that we do, the way that we live must line up with the Scriptures, must line up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, it says very clearly, hear the words of our Savior. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Notice the Lord says, many shall come in his name, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, it's not the few. It's not that there's a few false teachers. No, Jesus said there'll be many of them. And in 2 Timothy, we've already looked at where it says they will heap to themselves. Well, you know, when you heap up something, it's a pile of it. It's an enormous amount of it. Heaping something means that there's an abundance of it. So the Word of God is telling you, beloved, that in the last days, the sign of the coming of the Son of God, the very sign that Jesus spoke of first, the very sign that we're to look for, that Jesus is about to return, is that there will be great deception, and there will be many false teachers that will come in the name of Jesus Christ and shall declare Jesus to be the Christ and shall deceive many. There shall be many false teachers, and they shall deceive many, and this is the sign of the coming of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sign of the end of the age and the end of the world, and this is the sign that Jesus gave to his apostles when they asked him the question, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, beloved, I tell you that the sign that Jesus gave is now here. It is present in the earth today. Everywhere we turn, we see deception. And we're going to get into some of those deceptions. We're going to look at some of the things that these people that are coming in the name of Christ are teaching. And we're going to examine as to how they line up with the Word of God. And beloved, we have to keep in mind that everything we do, everything we say, everything we teach, our lives must line up with the scriptures, must line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the standard that we look to, and that is what we must base our life upon. We cannot base our lives upon the traditions and teachings of men. See, most of you out there that are in the organized religious system, you base your teaching on what your church is teaching. You base your life on what the people around you are saying or doing, and you base your life upon what these men tell you rather than what the scriptures teach. So if you're in one of these churches, and we're going to go examine some of these false teachings, and they're telling you these ear-tickling messages, you can bet, beloved, that they are not sent by God, because the Word of God is clear that the sign of the coming of Jesus Christ would be the first sign given, and the most prevalent sign we are to look for is that there shall be many false teachers that come in the name of Jesus Christ and declare, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and they shall deceive many. Beloved, are you being deceived in this hour? We pray that your ears would be opened and that God would put an anointing on this message and on this word, that it would penetrate through the deception, that it would go down deep into your soul and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We ask it in Jesus' name, that there would be an anointing that would come upon your ears to hear the truth, to hear the Word of God, and to understand what Jesus is saying and what is taking place all around you. Now, beloved, the warning given is for the church in the last days. We're going to look at some other scriptures. Here's one in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." Okay, the word privily means privately. It says, "who privately shall bring in damnable heresies." In other words, they're going to do it secretly. It says, "even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Beloved, right now, the way of truth is being spoken of, evil spoken of all over the world because of all these false teachers, these televangelists, these men that have fallen into all kinds of different deviant lifestyles, that have been caught stealing funds from ministries and all kinds of things that have been going on. And what has been taking place? Well, the way of truth is being evil spoken of, and because of the wickedness that is taking place in the Christian circles. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "and many," again, there's that word again, "many, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Verse 3, "and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Now, beloved, the Word of God is saying that these men that through covetousness, see, they covet wealth, they covet a big successful ministry, they covet to have material things, they covet power, they covet to have influence over the people, they covet these things. It says, "and through covetousness shall they with feigned words," which I believe it means deceptive words, "make merchandise of you." Well, what is merchandise? Merchandise is what merchants do. They take their merchandise and they sell it to you. Notice, beloved, that all of these false teachers who are promising you riches and wealth, and promising you all kinds of great prosperity, that they do this with feigned words, that they make merchandise of you. Deceptive words, that they make merchandise of you. They sell you their books and their tapes, and many of them, they become very, very wealthy. How? Because they sell, they make merchandise of you. They sell you their so-called revelations from the Word of God, and most of it is basically based in a worldly lust for success and the riches and wealth of the world. But we know that Paul warned Timothy. He said to flee these things. Paul spoke to Timothy and he told him, thou man of God, flee these things. He also told him to separate or to come apart from all those who teach these things. From such withdraw thyself. The scriptures talk about in the word of God. Now, the problem, beloved, is that we have so many false teachers and so few that are teaching the truth. So many false teachers and so few that are proclaiming the truth that most of the organized religious system no longer knows what the truth even is. They're so conditioned and so dumbed down by hearing so many false teachers and so many false prophets that they have now believed the lie, and they believe these things are scriptural. But the word of God is clear. I see the prevalent deception that Jesus is speaking of in the last days as that of the success-driven church with the gospel of success, worldly success, and the pursuit of wealth and riches as being held out before the people, and these are the teachers that they heap to themselves to hear. That they tickle their ears and tell them that God wants them to be rich, that God wants them to pursue wealth, that God wants to make them a great success in this life. But the Word of God says that in this life ye shall have tribulation. The Word of God says that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, ye shall suffer persecution. Jesus said if they hated the master, they will hate the servant also. Now they do not promise you these things in this life. They promise you great success and great riches and wealth, and they tell you godliness is a means of gain. Now in Timothy, Paul warned Timothy that these men would come, promising that godliness was a means of gain. It said men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, that means they don't have the truth, and they will promise you this great worldly wealth and riches. But we are admonished in the scriptures. Jesus himself said, do not store up your riches or your treasures here on earth. Do not store them up. Well, if you obey the simple words of Jesus there, the so profound truth, do not store up riches on earth, but store them up in the kingdom, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Beloved, we need to have our heart in the kingdom. The thing that we need to pursue after is Christ and his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Beloved, that's the pursuit we need to have, is for the kingdom. We need to be pursuing that which is of eternal consequence, the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Notice the word of God does not say some of these things shall be added unto you, but all of these things, all that you need, beloved, shall be added to you by God if you just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. That is what we are called to do. We are not called to seek after wealth, but in Timothy, Paul warned that those who desire to be rich fall into a snare and into many hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And it says that they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Beloved, it's a path that leads to sorrow. It's not a path that leads to life. The pursuit of wealth is not what the believer is called to do. Now, under the Old Covenant, it was okay for a believer under the Old Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant, to obtain wealth and store up wealth on earth. It was okay to store up great herds and great wealth and great riches here on earth. But in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, we are told that we are to flee these things, and that anyone who desires to be rich, they that will be rich fall into a snare and into many hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And it says, and they have pierced themselves to the love of money, because of the love of money. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Beloved, our desire for you is that you be blessed in all things. God will provide all your needs. He'll make you blessed. You know, you can have that blessing of Abraham upon your life, where God blesses everything in your life. But the only difference in the Old Covenant, Abraham and under the Old Covenant, they were allowed to store up great wealth on earth. They were allowed to have great prosperity and wealth and riches. But under the New Covenant, Jesus' commandment, he says very clearly, do not store up your riches on earth, where moth and rust doth eat away at them, but store your riches in the kingdom, where neither moth nor rust can eat away, and where thief cannot break in and steal, and then you shall have riches, eternal riches. And it says, wherever your heart or your treasure is, wherever your treasure is, your riches, there shall your heart be also. Beloved, we need to have our treasure in the heavenly things, in the kingdom of God. And how can you do that? There are many ways. But see, most of you are pouring your wealth into the wrong thing. You're giving money to the wrong ministries. You're buying the tapes and books. Now again, let's read what it says about these false teachers, what they will do. It says very clearly in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Turn unto fables. And see, what that's what they do. They turn your ears away unto fables. They do not turn the people that are listening to the truth, but they turn them to fables. And they make merchandise of you. That is what they do. They make merchandise of you. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, beloved, we look at that, and what is this merchandise that they're doing? Well, they're selling you. They're selling you their revelations, their books, their tapes, their CDs, all kinds of religious paraphernalia. They make merchandise of you. Beloved, they sell, and that's how they get rich. And then they say that God, it's God's will for you to get rich. But notice all the men who proclaim that, if you examine very carefully, how did they get rich? Well, most of them are getting rich by merchandising you, the listener. You are giving to their ministries. You are buying their books. You are buying their tapes. They tickle your ears, and they are deceiving you. And beloved, it is serious. This is the warning of Jesus Christ in the last days. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many, many false teachers, many false prophets, for many shall come in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ they come, saying, I am the Christ. They say that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. That's what's taking place, beloved. Are you one of the ones being deceived? Are you one of the ones that they're making merchandise of? Are they selling their merchandise to you? Beloved, I tell you, all of you out there, you ought to boycott all of these false teachers, all of these success seminar, success-driven, prosperity, success-driven ministries that talk about worldly success, that tell you that it's God's will for you to be rich. Let me tell you, God can pour riches into you. The scripture says if riches come, this is scripture, says if riches do come, this is not to set your heart upon them. And Jesus said, do not store them up on earth. Do not store your treasure or your riches up on earth, but store them in the kingdom. So in other words, if riches do come to you while you're seeking first the kingdom of God, see, as long as you're not loving money and you're not seeking after wealth, let's say you're serving God and God's blessing you, and let's say he prospers you to the point where riches come. The Bible's very clear. If while you're pursuing the kingdom of God first and you're serving Jesus Christ and you're seeking after righteousness, holiness, faith, and all of the things you're told to pursue, and you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and if riches come to you, well, the word of God tells you. It says, do not set your heart upon them. And Jesus Christ said, do not store them up on earth. So what are those riches for? If God does bring wealth to you, then it is for the very purpose that Christ said, to store it up in the kingdom. It is there to be a blessing, to further the kingdom of God. It is there to be a blessing to the poor. The word of God says that we are to work with our hands that we might have to give to every good work. It doesn't say that we might have to store up great wealth so we could be like Abraham, one of the richest men on the earth. No, again, under the old covenant, the people of God were allowed to store up great wealth. Under the new covenant, we have been told by God to flee the pursuit of wealth. 2 Timothy, where Paul's, I think it's 1 Timothy actually, where Paul, chapter 6, where Paul's talking to Timothy, and he tells him to flee these things, and he says, whoever will be rich, whoever desires to be rich has fallen into a snare. Now, we are told to flee these things. Jesus said, take your treasure and put it in the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Over and over, we have scripture after scripture that is dealing with the pursuit of wealth and is telling us not to do it. Now, if riches do come, there's a scripture that deals with that. If riches do come to you while you're seeking first the kingdom of God, the word of God tells you, do not set your heart upon them, for they're deceitful, and do not store them up on earth to heap up upon your own lusts. Because the word of God, Jesus has said in his word, that wherever your riches or treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he said to store it up in the kingdom where thief cannot steal it, and rust cannot devour it, and moth cannot eat it. It will be preserved, eternal riches, in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, beloved, we're going to take a break here, but first, before we do, I just want to let you know our website, perilloustimes.com. If you want to listen to our archived messages, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/perilloustimes. And that's plural. Perilous with an S, times with an S. blogtalkradio.com/perilloustimes. We have over 100 archived messages. You can download them freely. You can distribute them. You can email them off. You can burn them on CD, whatever, however you want to distribute them. They're free. You can give them to your friends, to other Christians. You can use them to witness with. And if we've been a blessing, also consider helping to support the broadcast, because we need some support. We're going on some more and more radio stations. The airtime is very expensive. And if you'd like to assist us, you can write us at Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, M-E, 04730. Again, that's Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, Maine, M-E, 04730. If you'd like to call us and talk about helping to support us with airtime, again, this is a listener-supported ministry. We do have to pay for the airtime wherever you're listening. And we pray that you would seek the Lord and ask the Lord if we're speaking the truth and if this has been a blessing to you, if you would pray about what God would have you do to help us pay for airtime. But if you would like to help us out, you can call us at 877-711-2906, 877-711-2906, or you can go to our website and you can donate online. That's perilloustimes.com. Hit the donate button, and you can assist us there. Anyone has a prayer request, would like to contact us, our phone number is toll-free, 877-711-2906, or you can email us at info@perilloustimes.net. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and stay tuned. We'll be back in 1 minute.
A vile, enormous dragon with heads and horns and crowns, and a tail that swept the stars from heaven and cruelly cast them down.
Hello, my name is Martin Banner, and as we see the dragon, the beast with seven heads and ten horns rising worldwide, and the spirit of Antichrist uniting this world system, be sure to stay informed as we send out prophetic words and teachings on www.perilloustimes.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive prophecies, dreams, and visions of the last days in these perilous times.
The power and the kingdom of God, for the dragon is defeated by the word and the blood of the
Welcome back, everyone. And this week our message, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. And we're looking at what Jesus said to the apostles when they questioned him, and they asked him, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And what Jesus answered them was, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, it's happening, beloved. We're going to look at some of the deceptions that are going on and some of the scriptures that give us further warning about those deceptions. One of the things we want to look at is this. I see that the deception is mainly in three main areas that the enemy is attacking the church. And we'll break them down. One is what's known as the prosperity gospel, where they're telling people that that God wants them to desire riches, that to pursue wealth, that God's desire and will for them is that they would be rich and store up riches on earth. And again, under the old covenant, Abraham was allowed to store up riches. Under the new covenant, Jesus has said very clearly, put your treasures in the kingdom. Do not store up your treasure on earth, for wherever your treasures are, there will your heart be also. That's a command from Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul told Timothy to flee these things, the pursuit of wealth. And he said anyone who would be rich has fallen into the snare of the enemy, and it drowns men with destruction and perdition. He talked about those who have a desire for wealth and riches, and those who have the love of money. So we are commanded in Scripture under the new covenant that we are to store up our wealth, our riches, in the kingdom. And there's many ways you can do that. You can support works that are preaching the Word of God, like our ministry, this broadcast. You can support your local church wherever you assemble. If you're in a church that's preaching the truth, most of them right now are apostate. As we know, there's a warning that there'll become a great apostasy, a great falling away. And we're seeing that apostasy in full swing right now. Many churches are no longer preaching the true gospel. They're preaching another message, preaching another Jesus. They're telling you that God wants you to be rich. They're telling you to seek after worldly success. They're telling you to pursue the world's wealth. They're telling you, they're even coming out with things now called Chrislam, which is supposed to be a combination of Christianity and Islam. They're talking about things like there's other things that are going on, supposed great revival they say we're in. So we got three main streams of deception. The first stream is this prosperity, success-driven gospel, and we know who all those people are. They come under the Word of Faith banner. They come under many different tentacles to this octopus of deception, and it has many tentacles on it. And you look around and you see many, many ministries now proclaiming that it's God's will for you to pursue wealth and riches, when Jesus himself said, don't store up riches on earth, put them in the kingdom, and that you cannot serve God and mammon. And the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that is the plan and purpose of God for the new covenant believer. Now, we can have the blessing of Abraham, where God blesses everything we set our hand to do, that we be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed shall be our children. Blessed shall be the offspring of our body. And we receive all that. Blessed shall be our herds, our businesses. Every area of our life can be blessed, and God can bless us with abundance. And God can prosper us, and it's his will to prosper us in every area of our life, including our finances. But the one restriction under the new covenant was that we cannot pursue wealth or desire riches or have the love of money, and that we cannot store up wealth on earth. We are forbidden to do that. Jesus said, do not store up your treasures or your wealth on earth, but store them up in the kingdom. Now, that's the only difference between the blessing of Abraham under the old covenant and under the new covenant. We can have that same blessing. We can have that same abundance. God desires to make us the head and not the tail, that we would have success in our business, in our finances, in our ministries, in our lives. But the purpose of that is to further the kingdom of God, not to heap it upon your lust, not to store up great wealth so you can have a lot of material things and go out and buy big mansions and lots of Cadillacs and multiple homes all over, and airplanes and jets and all these other extravagant things that these men are proclaiming. No, Jesus is very clear on that you are not to store up your treasure here. And we are also not to even desire wealth, but we're to have contentment. The scriptures tell us to be content, whatever condition we find ourselves, to be there with content. And godly contentment is what we need to pursue. We need to be content in whatever position we find ourselves, and we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the Word of God says very clearly that God will bless the work of our hands, that everything we set our hand to do will be blessed if we're serving Christ and obeying Him and keeping that covenant. And God will prosper every area of our lives if we're obedient to Him and keeping and walking out that covenant. But the only restriction the Word of God has placed there is that we are not to pursue wealth and we're not to store it up on earth. And the scriptures are clear. If riches come to you while you seek ye first the kingdom of God, do not set your heart upon them and do not store them up on earth. Because Jesus said, if you do store them on earth, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart will be on earthly things and not the things of God. And your focus will be on this temporal realm and not Jesus Christ. And you will fail in what God called you to do. And you will be hindered by it. You will be in anguish over those riches one day. And it will affect you and your loved ones and everyone around you. It will affect you. But if you store them up in the kingdom of God, well, it'll be a blessing to everyone around you, and God will just continue to pour out His blessing upon you. And see, that's how this principle works, that God is very clear. And I believe that as we give, it says, by what manner we give, it shall be given back to us again. And how is that? When we store up our treasures in the kingdom, God gives us more blessing to distribute to the needy, to give to every good work. Now, notice what the Word of God says, that we are to work with our hands that we might have to give to every good work. It does not say that we might store up great wealth, that we might have to give to every good work. Now, the balanced teaching on biblical prosperity in the financial realm is that God has given prosperity with a purpose, and that purpose is that God will bless the work of your hand and bless everything you do. He'll make you the head and not the tail, that you might be a channel of blessing to others, and that you might store up great riches in the kingdom, that you would have eternal riches, and that you might bless many lives, and that you might further the gospel of the kingdom and the kingdom of Christ, and that you might be a great blessing to everyone around you. And God has seen fit that if you do that, He says that He will pour out a great blessing upon you, for by what measure you give, it shall be given back unto you again. But how does this process work? Simple. Do not pursue wealth, and do not store it up. And if riches come, do not set your heart upon them, because they're deceitful, and the wind can blow upon them, and they can be gone very quickly, especially in this world and in this economy. And what happened in 1929, we all read the stories where many very wealthy men jumped out of buildings and ended their lives because their riches were gone overnight. See, and the scriptures are very clear. Do not set your heart upon them, because they're deceitful and they're fleeing. They can disappear, these riches. And many men back in 1929 found that out. And because they didn't take their wealth and store it up, their treasures, their riches in the kingdom, but because they stored them up on earth, they were so devastated that they jumped out of buildings and took their lives. And that's what happens when you get your eyes set upon wealth. Wealth is deceptive. It is a great deception. And why do you think so many men took their lives back in 1929 after the great crash? And I believe, brethren, we're about to see something on the face of the earth that's going to make the 1929 crash look like a stroll in the park. I believe there's coming such an economic shaking upon the whole earth that it's going to be much worse than what we saw in 1929, or what not maybe we saw, but what our forefathers saw in 1929. It's going to be worse, beloved. And again, men are going to be distraught. Because why? Because they didn't heed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He's clear on this. Do not pursue wealth, and do not set your heart upon riches, and do not store them here on earth. Now, I hope we drove that point home, and I hope some of you understood and comprehended what God is saying, because I'm telling you, there is coming a great destruction of wealth in the near future, in the days ahead, through a great economic collapse. And beloved, I pray that your heart's not into those things, but into the kingdom. Because if you're solid on the rock, Christ Jesus, you will be strong in that hour. You will stand strong in that hour. You will not have anything to worry about. You'll not have anything to fear in that hour. So we're going to get back here to what we were teaching, and we're going to take a look at, let's see, we're in 2 Peter 2:1-3. We already looked at that scripture. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. Let's talk about that a little. So the three main branches of this deception: the prosperity movement, then we have the hyper-Calvinistic eternal security, you can sin and be right with God, and then we have the third arm of this great deception in the last days is the so-called dominion theology with a great end time revival, and that whole nations are going to come to Christ and be saved, and that we're in some kind of great revival. Now the word says that they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let's look a little bit at that. What are some of these doctrines of devils? Well, there are a lot of these doctrines of devils going on. Oh, yes, there are. A lot of doctrines of devils. And we're seeing that all over. Many, many doctrines of devils. And, you know, one of the doctrines of devils has been this so-called revival movement where many have claimed that they've had a visitation from a angel named Emma, who is supposedly a female angel of all things, female angel. And as we look at what the scriptures teach about this, when we see angels, apparently they were masculine in nature. They seem to be masculine, but now there's another scripture that says that in the kingdom there's neither male nor female, for they are like unto the angels. So apparently, although the angels appear to look masculine, apparently they're neither male nor female. So as far as a female angel, when I look at the names of the angels, they're all masculine in name, and they appear to look masculine, but they're not male or female as far as sex goes, according to the scripture, because the scriptures say that that in the kingdom there is neither male nor female, for they are like unto the angels. Okay, so apparently the angels could not reproduce and were not male nor female, and that shoots down a lot of other false doctrines that are running around out there, because the Word of God says very clearly that in the kingdom they're neither male nor female, but are like the angels. Okay, so these seducing spirits, one of them has come forth and claimed to be a angel from the Lord, a female angel, and has given directions to certain ministries on what to do in the last days. Of course, one individual was instructed to cover his body with tattoos and piercings, and when we look at that and some of the manifestations that are taking place, again, let's read what the Word of God says about it. Now, the Spirit... this is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, the Word of God says that when a believer gives heed to one of these seducing spirits, these fallen angels that are nothing but angels that were with Satan when he fell, these fallen angels... these are seducing spirits. If a believer gives heed to them and the doctrines of devils that they bring, it says that they fall away. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. It says, in other words, in order for you to give heed to these seducing spirits, these fallen angels and their doctrines of devils, you must depart from the faith. Now that's what this scripture is saying. So whenever you give heed to the working of these seducing spirits with their lying signs and wonders and their doctrines of devils, you are departing from the faith. You're leaving the faith. And that's what happens when you give heed to these spirits. And many are doing that. They're departing from the faith, giving heed to the wrong spirit. Now, again, an angel from the Lord is not going to tell someone to violate the Word of God, to disobey God's holy word. The Word of God says not to put any mark on your body, let alone a demonic tattoo all over yourself, or pierce your body through with different piercings. So men that are being instructed to do this, of course, are being deceived by the deceiver, Satan, and his fallen angels. And they may think that they're following an angel from the Lord. And they may think that they're getting direction from the Holy Spirit. And they may think that they're being used of God. But the Word of God is very clear. It talks about that in the last days, there will be great deception. And it says that many shall be deceived. It talks about that many shall give heed to these seducing spirits. There will be many false prophets, many deceivers. In fact, the beginning of this message, Jesus spoke about it, and he said that many shall be deceived. Jesus spoke to the apostles, we read it. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Shall deceive many. Beloved, are you being deceived in this hour? Are you being deceived? That's the question we're asking you. Because you do not want to be deceived by these spirits in this hour. You do not want to be taken captive by these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils. And it's everywhere. I mean, we have things going on where people are coming out of their body experience, being transported, they claim, into the third heavens. One man claims he interviewed the Apostle Paul when he was on one of these out-of-body experience, being transported into the third heavens. And they claim they can do this at will. They can lay down and just will to leave their body and to be moved or translated into the third heavens. Well, beloved, let me point out to you, when the Apostle Paul was brought up and caught up into the third heavens, this was not an experience that Paul sought out. Paul didn't lay around and soak with some soaking kit for hours and then desire or will to leave his body and project himself into the third heavens to interview some angel up there or somebody up there. No, Paul didn't initiate the whole process. The process was initiated by God. God caught up Paul out of his body into the third heavens. And actually, Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Paul was not sure whether he was in the body, out of the body, whether he was in the spirit, whether it was a vision. He couldn't really tell, because one thing, Paul did not initiate this experience that he had in the spirit. This experience of being caught up into the third heavens. Paul was not the initiator of this experience, of this revelation. It was coming from God. Just like when different men of God would seek God, like Daniel, and he would fast, and then he would have a visitation or a vision from an angel. Well, Daniel didn't lay around and soak and get a soaking kit. Daniel didn't go buy a soaking kit for $160 and then go up to Toronto somewhere and lay around and soak for a few hours and then decide, hey, I'm going to have an experience with a vision from an angel. I'm going to envision it in my mind, or he didn't go out to California somewhere and lay around and soak and then say, I'm going to transport my body up into the third heavens. I'm going to have a revelation from a vision from an angel. No, Daniel was fasting, and God sent the revelation. God sent an angel to Daniel, and the angel inspired the vision that Daniel had supernaturally by the power of God. Now, beloved, when you start getting out of the realm of the power of God and you start seeking out spiritual experiences like visions and visitations from angelic beings and being transported into the third heavens, and you say you can do it at will, well, you're on dangerous ground. I mean, you are in an arena of where the enemy can deceive you. And what were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Take heed that no man deceive you. There's the warning from God. Take heed that no man deceive you, beloved. Now, are you listening to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you obeying him? Take heed that no man deceive you. And we got to make sure, beloved, in this hour that everything lines up with the Word of God, that what we're hearing is truth. I mean, we've got all kinds of manifestations. We've got situations with meetings where they're having globes of light and auras and all kinds of out-of-body experiences and people being pasted on walls. And show me any of this in the Word of God. You know, I was listening to a man the other night, and he said he was a light magnet, that he draws light to himself. He said he drew the light, some unbeliever, that the light in her was drawn to the light in him. Well, I'm going to point out something to you. Unbelievers don't have any light. The lost don't have any light. It says, they that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. No, they're not drawn to a light magnet. They're drawn to Jesus Christ and the light of the world. And they don't have any light. They're walking around in darkness. They got no light, zero, none. Let me tell you, the lost are lost. They're without a covenant, they're without Christ, and they're on their way to hell, and they're lost. And when they come to Christ, they don't come bringing any light, and they're not drawn to a light magnet. They're drawn to Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't say, I'll draw them. I'm going to have light magnets walking around with auras on them to draw the light in the lost to them, because there ain't any light in the lost, beloved. The lost don't have any light. For the scriptures say that those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Yes. And they were walking in darkness. They don't have any light. The lost don't have any light. They have no light. And they don't need a light magnet. They need us to lift up Jesus Christ. And when we lift up Jesus, Jesus has promised that he will draw all men unto himself, because he is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when we lift him up, he has promised that he will draw all men unto himself. The light that's in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's the only light we have, is the indwelling Christ within us. And hallelujah, praise the Lord, and praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, beloved, there's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of people running around saying a lot of things. And let's look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. Talks about false teachers. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. We talked about that earlier. And it also talks about false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There you go, beloved. False apostles, false teachers. There's all kinds of deception out there. You know, beloved, It's a dark hour, a dark time. It talks about false Christ, angels of light, wolves in sheep's clothing, merchandisers, man-pleasers, seducers, and on it goes. And, you know, if we had time, we could get into all that, but we're just about out of time. Beloved, we need you to help us with the airtime. If this message is blessing you, you can write us at Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, M-E, 04730. Again, that's Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, Maine, M-E, 04730. If you'd like to partner with us, you can also call us toll-free, 877-711-2906. That's again, 877-711-2906. You can email us at info@perilloustimes.net, info@perilloustimes.net. Our website, Perilous Times, that's plural, perilloustimes.com. Beloved, we're just about out of time. So remember, in everything you say and do, to let the love of God shine through. Keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Jesus is coming soon. We'll see you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. Join us at the same time each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. If you'd like to listen to archive broadcasts, go to perilloustimes.com and click the radio link. Until next time, remember, in everything you do, let the love of God shine through, and beloved, keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus.